Let's talk about the stone ruins in South Africa. What are they?
Well, it's a long story that goes back to the late 1400s already and early 1500s when the Portuguese explorers started coming on shore around the Cape of Good Hope and up the Indian Ocean from the South African side and then Mozambican side, when they started coming on shore and meeting up with the people that they found there who called themselves the Makomati people. And they realized that they were dealing with not just ancient or old African civilizations, but also ancient Hindu Dravidian civilizations. And this opens up a whole another very interesting story that I'm sure we'll get into. But while they were coming on shore in Southern Africa, they found these sun-worshipping cultures living amongst hundreds and thousands of stone structures, ruined settlements, vanished cities and civilizations that boggled their mind. And when they asked the indigenous people of Southern Africa whether they were responsible for building it or who built this, they told them they don't know who built these stone structures. They didn't build it. And this left them obviously very curious and as to what's going on there. And that story has not really ever been explained until, I think, right now, what we're doing with Jan Heine and myself and decoding these ancient ruins. The fascinating thing about this, George, is when the Portuguese arrived at the Great Zimbabwe ruins, which are clearly the main, the most impressive of these ruins in Southern Africa, there was a lintel above the main entrance of this ruin that had a written script on it. And they did not, they weren't able to decode it. They couldn't read it. So they called in the Moorish, the wise Moors, who were the decoders of all languages. And apparently at that stage already, they knew all the languages in the world. And they could not decode that written script. Now, this is interesting and very important bit of information, because this you won't find in any history book. Remember that the indigenous people of Southern Africa at that point did not have the wheel and they did not have a written language. And yet there was this lintel with an ancient script on it in a foreign language, and that could not be deciphered. That lintel, unfortunately, has gone missing. And I bring this up because Great Zimbabwe seems to be, together with Adam's Calendar and another site called Sodilo Hills in northern Botswana, those three sites seem to be the three key sites in Southern Africa of this ancient vanished civilization. And it is a vast, vast civilization.
Are these ruins as such, Michael, that it would have been nearly impossible to construct with ancient technology? And when I say ancient technology, I'm just talking about manual labor at that time.
Yeah, this is. We're not talking about ruins like the pyramids. We're not talking about anything that you find in Sacsayhuaman in Peru, or any of these amazing giant stone structures that are made out of giant megaliths. We're talking about smaller stones, structures that are made out of stones that weigh between, I'd say, 10 kilos to maybe 1 or 2 tons. But the problem that we have here is that it is the total number of these ruins that defy any logic. And the amount of labor and population required to construct such a vast number of these ruins. And I must also add that all these ruins that I'm referring to here are circular stone structures that cover most of Southern Africa, that I'm talking about South Africa, most of Zimbabwe, large parts of Botswana and Mozambique, and probably other areas that we haven't even discovered yet. But we're talking about large numbers that defy any kind of logic, and I might as well throw this out there. There are more than 10 million of these circular stone structures. When you figure this out, this was a big shock to me. found out how many they were.
What I deduce about structures like this, Michael, either our civilizations were way more technologically advanced and way older than we think, like Michael Cremo has said, or there was some kind of extraterrestrial help, like a Zechariah Sitchin would say. Where do you fit in here?
Oh, absolutely. I believe that what we have discovered, and my personal conclusion is very simple and very straightforward, and I keep repeating it to people. I believe we have discovered the physical evidence of what Zechariah Sitchin has written about most of his life and devoted his life to. I'm really sad that he's not around. He would have been absolutely thrilled to see this for himself. The physical evidence of the Anunnaki presence on Earth, the physical evidence of millions of stone structures in the earliest gold mining operation on Earth, instituted or instigated or created by the Anunnaki in southern Africa, or what Zechariah Sitchin and the Sumerian tablets refer to as the Abzu. And we are now finding the physical evidence for that, not just in the numbers of the stone circles, but various other interesting indicators that we read in his translations that I'm finding absolutely, I'm bowled over by the things that we're finding and are being able to link to what Sitchin has been writing about.
All right, let's talk more about Sitchin's work and then tie it into some of the things that you've been doing. Of course, he investigated the Sumerian tablets, claiming that the Anunnaki came here from a planet called Nibiru 400-some thousand years ago to mine for gold, and then in the process, they kind of got lazy. They didn't want to do it themselves, so they genetically altered the creatures that were on this planet and created what we believe to be modern mankind.
Yeah.
Not a bad theory.
No, not a bad theory at all, and I think there are a lot of people that will be listening to this that probably have had their own areas of research or times of research into this, and everything seems to be pointing towards that kind of scenario. What Sitchin talks about and the translations that he's presented us with refers to this place at the southern tip of Africa, this place called the Abzu. And the Abzu is referred to as the place where all the gold came from, where the Anunnaki set up their gold mines under the leadership of Enki. And what's fascinating is that, my approach towards this is that if we can find this place called the Abzu and identify it as the Abzu, then I think we have solved one huge mystery in the Sumerian translations. And I believe that we have done this with great success. There is no other place on Earth that has a vanished civilization of more than 10 million stone structures, agricultural terraces that cover more than 450,000 square miles, and ancient roads that link all of this together, one giant mesh of an ancient civilization that had advanced knowledge of technology, knew how to use the, you know, free energy that comes out of the earth, which
sure.
We need to cover as well.
Yes.
But if we can, now that we've found this ancient civilization, and not only found the physical evidence of them, but also found millions of gold mines in southern Africa, and the anomalies and the phenomenal things about the gold mines, this is where...
And are these ancient gold mines, Michael?
Oh, yeah. George, this is the phenomenal thing. Let me tell you what this journey of discovery is. It's like I feel like I'm on like a... I feel like I'm part of a CSI team on an ancient crime scene, you know? It's unbelievable, and I often use this analogy. I tell people in my presentations that, look, this is like, you know, I follow the clues and I follow the evidence and I base my theories and conclusions on the clues and the evidence that I find. And I'm trying to be as scientific about this as I possibly can. But sometimes you got to allow yourself to think outside the box in areas where science has not reached yet. Because we're dealing with technology that we don't understand today.